Good morning. We are so glad you guys are here this morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of God?
Yes.
It is. There's no better place to be than here right now.
Good morning. Okay, so it has been just over a year, I think, since we were here last, so we have a new addition.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, I think she just woke up for you. Say hi. This is Beta Ray, but like you said, we are so excited to be back and back in Virginia, back with you guys. We just wanted to take a minute to update you on what's been going on other than the child. And also, I see some new faces here. So how many of you did not hear us speak last time we were here? Okay, so a good amount of you. So we're going to give you a little bit of an idea of who we are before Keith gets into the message. But Keith and I are from a ministry called Go and Shine. Go and Shine, the two commands Jesus gives in Matthew, go and make disciples, let your light shine, bringing glory to the Father. So that is the heart of our whole ministry, really advancing the kingdom through evangelism work. We do that through gospel resources, evangelism trainings, street ministry, curriculums, and all other types of stuff. We would love to share with you more about that if you have a second to take a look at our table. But to give you an idea of our ministry, just over the last couple years, we have reached over 30,000 people on the streets face-to-face with the gospel. And that is because of churches like you guys who give faithfully and keep us in prayer. And so thank you so much for being a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we do that?
And we do that because we believe it's all of our Christian call to be sharing the gospel, because we all have something that's worth sharing. And we want to do that and model it and help equip you guys to do it more effectively. And so we really believe that Jesus is what will change people's lives. And Jesus is the only thing that can change people's lives. And isn't it true that sometimes we look at our country and we're thinking, wow, yeah, something needs to happen. Jesus needs to break through here. And wouldn't it be amazing if we got to be a part of seeing that happen?
And we can be. And the truth is that right here in North America, so we're talking English-speaking United States and Canada, there are 260 million people who don't claim Christ. And those are people who don't claim Christ. And so we know that that number is probably greater of those not walking with the Lord. And we need to do something about it as people in the church. And so that's our hope, is to encourage you and equip you. So again, if you have a second to stop by our table in the back, we have free gospel resources. They're the little business card ones. They're free. Please take them. If you find an opportunity to hand one, leave them at a restaurant. You can also see that Keith and I, Keith, I shouldn't take any of the credit. Keith screen prints t-shirts that also help fund our ministry. So you can take a look at what we have back there, as well as get a preview of what kind of curriculums we do and other trainings and resources. But we would love for you guys to come talk to us more about our ministry and hear about some of the other needs we have. And I do want to say thank you. I know a lot of you guys have been keeping up with us on Facebook. For a ministry like us that travels full time, and those of you who don't know, we actually just took the leap to being full time in our Class A RV. And so we are now committed to traveling the continent for a full year. We got rid of our condo, and this is what we really believe God's called us to do, is to share Jesus with the people on the streets of North America. And so we are doing that. Again, as those of you who have followed us on Facebook, you know that we kind of had some family emergency stuff come up this month. And so for a ministry like us who travels and is dependent on being on the road, sometimes those things hit us hard. And I want to thank you guys for praying. A couple of you came up to me and said you were praying for my mom. I will say, those of you who know what's going on, she had surgery for breast cancer, and praise God, the surgery went successful, and they believe they got it all. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you, Jesus. But that's just a little update about us. And
you can see up there, that's a quick little snapshot of where we've been, where we're going. You guys see you on there. What is it, August 18th, Community Christian Fellowship. We're in Virginia right now. Right, we're in Virginia. Right? We've covered a lot of ground, okay? So you see, we started in Florida. We worked our way up. And actually, because of your prayers, because of what you guys have been a part of as well, this is the most solid books that Go and Shine has been. We have churches calling us all the time now to come in, offer training like you guys have gone through, and speak about how we need to all be sharing our faith. And so you get a little snapshot there. The fall is filling out. We're going to be in Virginia for one more week, and then we head to Canada. So those of you who might not remember, I am Canadian, and that's why if I sound funny to you, you're like, that guy says words weird.
I can translate. Don't
worry. Talia will let you know what I'm saying. But we're headed to Ontario for a about 3 weeks, and then we'll be headed across the Midwest and over to California and then back in Florida by December. So we're covering a lot of ground, so your prayers for that and all those miles and all the things that could potentially happen on the road as well, we really appreciate you guys being a part of that.
Yes, but thanks again for having us. After church, please come give Veda a high five. She loves high fives. You can talk to us more about what it would mean to join our Go and Shine team and all that that would include for you and what you would be a part of. So, and if we haven't had a chance to meet you or get to know you more one-on-one, please come talk to us. We'd love to do that.
All right. Thank you.
You got it.
All right. Again, I'm going to share the message with you this morning, and I'm really excited about this. I know that some people are, this is going to sound like it's like almost like a bad word in church, but you're allowed to have your phones out during this, okay? Because what we have is if you follow that link at the bottom, goandshine.org/notes, it will actually take you to YouVersion. How many of you guys have YouVersion on your phone? Okay, it'll take you to YouVersion. You can read it right there, or you can click it and open it up in your own YouVersion, and you can see all the sermon notes from today. So you'll be able to follow along. You'll be able to read the scriptures right in there. Or if you do have your Bible with you as well, you can turn to 1 Corinthians. But if you don't have your Bible with you, it's okay. You are allowed to pull out your phone as long as you're not doing other things. You are welcome to break out your phone. Go to goandshine.org/notes. Again, it'll forward you over to YouVersion, and you'll be able to pull up all the notes as well as save your own notes, because hopefully you have some insights that are way better than anything I could say today. So I really hope that we can grow together in this. But for the rest of you, 1 Corinthians is where we're turning to. So you're welcome to pull out your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians, or open your Bible app and do that. But before we get into this, I want to bring us back to when we were kids. How many of you think about those times back in the good old days, right? Now, do you remember something in school called show and tell? Oh, you remember show and tell, right? What were some of the things? It's okay, you can interact with me, okay? What are some of the things you brought for show and tell? Your little brother, okay. I was the object of show and tell too. My sister brought me. My sister was 8 years older than me, and she brought me to show and tell, and that was probably for the one moment that she thought I was cool, and then after that, you know, she got all that out, and then she was like, oh, you're like my annoying little brother now. But for that one day, I was like something special. That's right. Yeah, what else did you bring for show and tell? I can't hear you very well up here because I'm mostly deaf, so you got to say it loud.
Would you,
grasshopper? Okay, that was cool. How did the other kid? What did the other kids think of the grasshopper? Yep. We know a teacher, and he was actually a teacher in a small school and in Northern Ontario, actually, where we used to live. And he caught a whole bunch of snakes out in the woods, and he put them all in an aquarium, and he brought them in for show and tell for his class. And do you know what happened? You can probably take a guess. The snakes got out. Okay, and they were all over the school, and the principal had to sit them down, and the principal said, never bring snakes to school again, okay? No more show and tell. What about some things that other people brought for show and tell? What's the craziest thing you've ever seen brought for show and tell? Yeah.
A skull.
A skull, okay. That would be, yep. Like a human skull, or a human skull, or?
It's a fish.
Oh, fish skull, okay. Whew. That would have been even more scary if it was a human skull. But where did you get that exactly? A fish skull. Can anybody beat a fish skull? Yeah, you can beat it?
Probably not, but a friend of mine wants for a single Lego.
A single Lego. Okay, that's interesting because that brings up a good point, because sometimes show and tell isn't just about showing, right? It's also about what?
Telling.
It's about the story of the object, isn't it? Because why? Stories connect people. Stories make sense to people, and people like stories. So it might have been a single piece of Lego, but if there was a really cool story that went along with that single piece of Lego, it made it then what? Important, right? You might have brought, you know, a ratty old piece of material or something, but if you, and everyone might have looked at it and said, oh, well, that's not worth anything, but if you told them a story about how your great-great-grandfather was sailing across the ocean, and they were captured by pirates, and then, you know, the pirates consumed them, but they were able to fend off the pirates, and then this is a piece of the material of the flag of that pirate ship, wouldn't that be a cool story? Yeah, and then all of a sudden that piece of material means something, doesn't it? Stories give significance to things. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit about today, because stories matter. Who used stories a lot? Jesus, right? He called them what? parables, right? And he used stories of everyday normal things, right? Like farming and fishing and things that people could relate to teach deep spiritual truths. That's powerful. There's power in story. So let's pray, and then we're going to get into the story of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a good God who loves us so much. God, we thank you that you have given us a story to tell and something that is worth sharing. God, it is a good story, and it is good news that you came to save us, to forgive us, to buy us back from death so that we could live abundantly now and live for all of eternity with you. Father, thank you that there is good news in this story. God, I pray as we talk about this good news today, God, that we would be reminded of those pieces of the good news that maybe we've let become old news. God, that we would be reminded of the excitement and joy that comes from knowing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stories connect people. Stories capture attention. Stories work to bring significance to something. And we all have a story to tell. That's why this tour that we're on right now is called Something Worth Sharing, because we believe every single one of you have something worth sharing. And even more so, if you know Jesus, man, do you have something worth sharing, something worth telling other people about. Now, Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians, right, he knew that the story of Jesus was powerful, that the story of Jesus mattered. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 16. Again, if you have the YouVersion app, you can follow right along with this as I'm reading. If not, there are notes in your program, your bulletin as well, that you can fill out as you go if you prefer to write that way as well. 1 Corinthians 9, I'm going to just read verse 16 to start with. So this is Paul. He says, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Paul believed that it was necessary that he shared this good news, that it was so good that it was necessary that he shared it, right? And I believe that it is necessary that we share it. In the NIV, so this was the ESV that I just read out of. In the NIV, it uses the word compelled there. Paul felt compelled to share it. He felt like he didn't even have a choice, that it was such good news that he simply had to share it. And even so much so, he thought it was so important that he said a big word there. Well, it's actually a little word, but it has some weight and significance to it. A word that starts with W. What did he say? Woe. Woe to me if I do not preach it. Do you know what the word woe means? We hear that sometimes in Scripture, and I think sometimes we don't connect with what it actually means. Again, if you have the YouVersion app, you get a nice little definition there. I love definitions. It really helps me clarify things in my mind. I love the strictness of definitions. But woe actually means to cause great distress or sorrow. Woe means to cause great distress or sorrow. So Paul believed that the good news of Jesus was so important to share that he actually called it upon himself and said, "I hope that I feel distress and sorrow if I do not share it." That's how important it is. The good news of Jesus, the fact that Jesus came to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven, that is such good news that I am compelled to share it, that I hope that I feel bad, that I have sorrow, that I have distress if I don't share it. Paul believed that this news was so good, so powerful, so important, that he simply had to share it. So my question for you today as we finish this first point is, how do you feel about the gospel? How do you feel about the good news? Knowing that Paul believed that it was so good, so important, so powerful, so amazing, such good news that he had to share it, and he would hope that there would be distress on him if he didn't share it. How do you feel about the good news of Jesus? See, because typically as Christians, we have this interaction with Jesus, and it's really good when it first happens, right? It's really good news when we are first forgiven and we feel that forgiveness, when we feel that joy of knowing Jesus. But then what happens to all news, basically, right? It becomes old news, right? And I believe we do that in our spiritual lives as well, that as we're walking along through this spiritual journey that we are on, that it becomes slightly older news, right? And it's less exciting to us to talk about Jesus. And it becomes less exciting to tell people that we go to church on Sundays. And it becomes a little bit more awkward to actually talk about it with everyday people, right? Because we've lost sight of how good this news is. It's good news that Jesus came. It's good news that we are forgiven. It's good news that everyone else can be forgiven. It is good news. I hope that we can recapture that today, that we can again, once again in our lives, maybe we've let it dwindle, maybe we've let it become old news. I hope today, if nothing else, you say that is good news. It is good news that Jesus forgave me. It is good news that God loved me so much that he provided a way for me to be forgiven. That is good news. That is something we're sharing in itself. Nothing else, even if I stopped the sermon there, that is good news. That is good news, and it is worth it. How do you feel about the gospel today? Are you willing to say, I hope that I am distressed and feel sorrow if I don't share that good news? If I'm able to hold it inside, I hope that I feel sad about it? Or are you simply okay with letting it just being kind of in the dark corners of your life that you don't really talk about very often? How do you feel about the good news of Jesus? Is it good news? Is it something worth sharing? Do you believe that it is so important and such good news that you simply can't contain it and you simply have to talk about it with every single person who will listen to you? And even if they don't listen to you, you'll still talk about it because it's such good news? Or do you let it just sit there and not talk about it? Let's continue on. So your first point there is good news must be shared, if you're filling out on your program. Good news simply must be shared. Paul knew that he had no choice in the matter. It was so good that he had to share it. He was compelled. Necessity was laid on him. And not just Paul, but necessity is laid on us, right? Once we interact with Jesus, right, that great commission, go and make disciples, that's for all of us, right? Go and make disciples, right? And your church mission, right? What is it? Yep. And go into the community and do it. You'll notice on the back of some of your follow-up questions that you have the word go underlined on your, I think it's an orange sheet in there, that it says go, that your mission is to go into this community of Vint Hill, of Fauquier County, of Prince William County, of Virginia. No excuses. Stop making excuses. This is good news, and it simply must be shared. Good news must be shared. That's our first point. Our second point, we're going to continue reading on 1 Corinthians 9. We're going to continue on in verse 17 and read to verse 22. Again, if you're following along in YouVersion, it pulls right up for you. If you have your Bibles, you can read through this with me. It says, "For if I do this on my own will, I have my reward. But if not on my will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward that in preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so not to make full use of my right in the gospel? For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews I have become as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I have become as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. Verse 21, to those who are outside the law, I became as one outside of the law, not being outside of the law of God, but being under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I have become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." Paul believed that this message was for everybody, at all times, everywhere. He believed that this wasn't just for the Jewish people. It wasn't just for the Israelites. It wasn't just for the Gentiles. It was for everyone. It was for those under the law, not under the law. It was for every single person at all times. Why? Because good news transcends everything else. If it's good news, it's good news. That's the fact. If it's good news, then it is good news for all. The second point that you can fill out if you're filling it out in your program is that the good news has nothing to do with us. Ouch, did that hurt a little bit? Let me be clear. The good news does have a little bit to do with us, right? Because we are the object of God's affection, right? He loves us so much that he sent us Jesus, and that's why we have this story of the good news, because it's a story of redemption. But I think sometimes we as believers think that the good news has everything to do with us, and we get to define what the good news looks like. Far too often we think our feelings, rights, comfort, and preferences matter more than the message. Think about that for a second. I'm actually going to repeat it because I believe that this is so important. If you're writing down notes, I want you to write this down. That far too often we think that our feelings, our rights, our comfort, and our preferences matter more than the message. And therefore, we only offer the good news within the context of our comfort. Let that sink in for a second. Sometimes we think our feelings, our rights, our comfort, and our preferences matter more than the message, and therefore we only offer the good news to other people when it's within the context of our comfort. What do I mean by that? I mean that we gather here on a Sunday, right? And this is a pretty comfortable spot to talk about the good news, isn't it? You can come together, you can talk about Jesus, you can not be afraid of that. You can know that basically the people that are around you basically believe or at least are interested or open to the idea of what we're talking about, right? It's a safe place for us to talk about it, right? But then as we walk out those doors and we go to work tomorrow, or we go into school, or we go into all the places that we interact with when we're in the store, what happens? It becomes a little less comfortable, doesn't it? All of a sudden, we get all, you know, something on Sunday morning that we're so comfortable talking about and discussing, and we get outside these walls, and suddenly it's a little less comfortable, so therefore we hold that good news inside a little bit more. Right? If you remember last year when we came, I said that we have this thing that we do where we, like, flick our light on Sundays, and it shines really bright, and then on Mondays, we kind of dim that light a little bit because we don't want to freak anybody out. Right? We, like, don't want to scare anybody, so we, like, stop talking about it a little bit. Right? We don't bring up Jesus all the time because we don't want someone to think that we're a weirdo, right? Man, we don't want anyone to think we're weird, and so we don't talk about Jesus. And then when do we talk about Jesus again? Maybe at a midweek Bible study, or maybe we might even discuss Jesus in our home. I hope that we're doing that, but the reality is a lot of us don't, right? Even Christian families. I grew up in a Christian family, and you know, quite often it was like church on Sunday, and then we go out to lunch, and then what happens? We forgot what the sermon was about by the time we're finished lunch, right? And I believe that's kind of what we do as Christians, even spiritually. And so I'm going to speak kind of in some very blunt terms. And I'm going to speak in blunt terms because I believe sometimes we need to hear it really blunt. Amen? Right? Sometimes we just need someone to say what the truth is, okay? And I believe that we gather around here as believers, right, on Sundays. Not just you guys, churches all across North America, right? We gather together. We eat our fill of the good news, right? We have fellowship, and that's really good. We love fellowshipping with other believers. We have worship. We love singing. We love worshiping. We tithe. We give offerings. We listen to a message. We interact. We give high fives and hugs, and it's a place where we're all welcome, and we eat our fill of the good news. We hear the good news over and over again. I know Pastor Nick talks about the good news over and over again, doesn't he? Why? Because he believes it's something worth sharing, right? And so we eat our fill of the good news, and then do you know what happens when you eat, and you eat, and you eat, and then you don't exercise? What happens? You get fat, don't you? I believe that far too many of us are spiritually fat Christians. We come here and we eat our fill. We listen to the message, and we absorb it all, and we take it in, but then we go out these walls, and we don't exercise what we've now learned, what we've now put into our lives, and we become spiritually fat. And then what happens when you are fat? It becomes harder to exercise, doesn't it? So I'm kind of making some comparisons between the physical world and spiritual world here, but I believe that there is spiritual weight to this. That if we go out and we don't exercise the things that we're learning on Sundays, the things that God is teaching us throughout the week, if we're not actually willing to exercise them, we will just become spiritually fat Christians who don't want to exercise our spiritual lives. We no longer want to use our spiritual gifts that God has given us. We no longer want to serve in church. We no longer want to tell people about Jesus. Why? Because we're quite content being spiritually fat, right? We like it. We like the way that we can just sit there and not do anything about it. But Paul believed that that was the absolute wrong way to do it. He believed that this meant action, that the good news meant action, that it meant that we go outside these walls and we are excited. Again, he said compelled, or that necessity is laid upon him. Paul, if you read about Paul, did he have any trouble exploding it on anyone who would listen? No, he was willing to talk about it at all times with all people. Paul seemed to think that the gospel and good news was for all people. You know, and I think sometimes one of the things that we are guilty of, even as a North American church, is that we go about our lives and we think, well, you know, that's good news for me, but it's really hard to explain that in my current culture. You know, it's hard. A lot of people don't believe that anymore, and they believe that, you know, it's, you know, maybe that was like what their grandparents believed, but you know, it's a little less relevant today, maybe. I mean, aren't we, like, you know, more enlightened than we used to be? You know, maybe we're smarter than we used to be. And maybe, you know, these stories are good to talk about, but it doesn't actually change lives, or it doesn't actually do anything. And it's kind of, you know, it's a little irrelevant, you know, to our modern culture. I believe that If we said that, Paul would slap us upside the head. I really do. I believe that Paul would say to you today, so I'm putting words in Paul's mouth because, of course, he didn't say this, but I believe Paul would say to you today that if you think the gospel seems irrelevant, then you're not sharing it properly. If you think that the gospel and the good news of Jesus is irrelevant today, tomorrow, 100 years from now, 1,000 years ago, it doesn't matter. If you think the gospel is irrelevant, you are sharing it improperly. Because it is good news for all time, for all people, no matter your circumstance, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you'll be tomorrow or in the future, it is good news. The good news has nothing to do with us. It doesn't matter how relevant we think it is good news and it changes lives. Brennan Manning, I love reading Brennan Manning. Has anybody read any books by Brennan Manning before? Okay. He has an interesting life. He lived an interesting life. And he said this one thing in one of his books, and I think it's so powerful. And he said, the issue is not whether it is relevant, but whether it is true. Is the good news of Jesus true? Then that supersedes anything we could think of as relevant or not. The question is not whether it is relevant, but is it true? Because if it's true, then it's true, right? I believe that this is true. I believe that Jesus came. I believe that he died and that he rose again so that we could be forgiven. I believe that that is true, and I believe that it is something worth sharing. How do you feel about it? My question for you at the end of this point is, have you ever allowed your feelings, rights, comfort, or preferences affect the good news you have to share? Let me ask you that one more time. Have you ever allowed your feelings, rights, comfort, or preferences affect the good news you have to share? That's a hard question to answer because we all would like to say, no, I've never let that happen. But what's the reality? All of us, right? The answer is yes. Sometimes when we're put in uncomfortable spots, you know, I shared the story of, a year ago when I was here, I shared the story of that one kid in my ninth grade class who came up to me and was basically asking me to share the gospel with him. And it made me uncomfortable, even though I knew it, it made me uncomfortable. And so I avoided it at all costs. I allowed my comfort to affect the good news that I had to share. I regret that moment so often that I missed that opportunity, that I let it pass by. That I didn't share the good news that I know and that I believe is good news, that I believe could have changed that kid's life. And I didn't share it. I withheld it. Why? Because I was uncomfortable and I put my comfort above the message. Have you ever allowed your rights, feelings, comfort, or preferences affect the good news you have to share? All right, let's move on. Our third point, if you're filling in the point. So again, our first point was that the good news must be shared. Second point is the good news has nothing to do with us. The third point is that this story brings life. Because I believe that the good news of Jesus doesn't just change lives, but I believe it brings us life in the first place. That it brings us from dead people to people who are alive. To people who can breathe for the first time because we know what living is like because we've experienced love unlike anything else that we've ever encountered in our lives. This story brings life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23, he says, I do all for the sake of the gospel that I might share with them in its blessings. Paul knew that this story brought life. Why? Because Paul knew all too well what it was like to live for the world and be dead and not realize it. Right? And then Jesus interacted with Paul in a way that is a miracle. And Paul experienced life for the first time. And he said, I simply must share this. I want to experience life. And I want everyone around me to experience life. Right? And if you're a good Christian, you say, yes, I want everyone to experience Jesus, right? That's what we would say. But what are we doing about it? Are we giving the people around us the best possible opportunity to meet Jesus? Are we doing that? You know, thinking about good news again, you know, doesn't it feel good to share good news? Right? Absolutely. Everybody loves good news. How many of you love when you have good news to share and you get to share it with everybody? Right? And how many of you, your families or something like that, you have some good news and you tell someone and then before you get to everyone else, your good news already is all spread? right? Because people love sharing good news. My family, especially my mom's side of the family, oh man, we call my parents, right, who are in Canada, and we might call them with some good news, right? And good news could be anything that you deem good news, right? It could be a new baby on the way. It could be the birth of a baby. It could be a healed ailment. It could be something that is, you know, great. It is good news. And it could be something that we share as good news. And we call my parents, and then what happens is my parents share the good news with everybody else, right? Before I even get the opportunity.
I have let my rights, feelings, and comfort stop me from sharing the good news.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all in that boat, aren't we?
Yeah.
We all let it happen. And we all let that stifle the good news.
I was convicted sitting there.
Yeah, well, thank you. And no more, right? No more excuses. We're not going to let those things stop the good news, because the good news is such good news that it simply must be shared, right? Yeah. Good news, again, it travels through our families, right? Everyone likes sharing good news. Do you know what happened July 20th, 1969?
No.
You weren't alive. I wasn't alive either. What happened? Landed on the moon, right? The Americans landed on the moon, and they won the space race. Do you know what newspapers all across the world said, except for Russia? Apparently they were trying to keep it a secret. All the other newspapers, do you know what they said? Man has landed on the moon. This is good news. Why is it good news? Because now everything is different. All of our future is different. Now we know that it's possible, that it happened, right? It is good news. It wasn't good news just for America. Now it was really good news for America, right? You guys got to land on the moon. And I like to think that the Canadians helped, okay? Just, you know, the space station, that Canada arm. You guys probably don't even know what the Canada arm is, but it's really important, okay? The Canada arm. All right, you couldn't have done it without us. You need us. All right. But that was good news, and everyone wanted to share it, right? When you have good news, you want to share it, right? Think about back to show and tell. Right? If you ever brought something for show and tell that you were really excited about, right? It was in your backpack, right? And what did you do before you even got a chance to show and tell it, right? You opened your backpack up and you called your closest friends over and you're like, look what I brought. Look what I brought for show and tell. Why? Because you couldn't contain it because you were so excited about this good news that was in your backpack. And it might have been a single Lego, but it was such good news, right? Why don't we treat the gospel like that? Why don't we treat the good news of Jesus like something that we can't wait, that it's hiding in our backpack, and we can't wait to open up our backpack and call all our friends around and say, see what I have? Look what Jesus did in my life, and he can bring you life too. That's good news. Why do we hide it in our backpacks? Jesus not only changes lives, but he brings life in the first place. We're not going to go there. If you have the YouVersion app pulled up, you can save it for later. There's a section in Ephesians, or you can write it down and read it later. Ephesians chapter 2, particularly verse 1 to 19. It talks about how we are all spiritually dead. We are born dead. And what does a dead person do? Be dead, right? That's what they do, right? A dead person can't simply decide, hey, I'm going to be alive today. It doesn't work that way, does it? When Lazarus was in the tomb, right? Lazarus couldn't just decide one day, hey, I'm going to get out of the tomb today. I think Jesus is coming to visit me. Yeah. Right? What happened? Jesus had to call into the tomb, right? An outside force had to call in and perform a miracle. And he said what? Lazarus, get up. Jesus calls us all to get up. He reaches into our lives and he says, get up. Wake up. You've been dead for far too long. And I want to give you life. I don't want to just give you eternal life, because sometimes we just focus on eternity, right? We focus on the end. We focus on that we get to be in heaven with God for eternity. But I believe that Jesus wants to set you free and give you life right now, too. He wants you to live abundantly now. That it's not just for eternity. Yes, we should look forward to eternity, because it's going to be so much better than now. But God wants to loosen all the chains and bonds and everything that holds you back today. He wants to give you freedom today. He wants to give you life today. That's good news. I hope that you're feeling a little more excited right now. Are you feeling a little bit more excited about this good news? That this good news can bring life to you. It can bring life to this country. It can bring life to Warrington. It can bring life right here to your friends, to your family. It brings life. That is good news. Let's stop making excuses to hold it inside. Let's stop putting our rights and our preferences and our comfort above the good news that we have to share, because we all have something worth sharing. Say it with me, something worth sharing. We all have something worth sharing. And maybe you're hearing for the first time this idea that Jesus wants to set you free. Maybe you haven't experienced this thing that we're talking about yet. And I want to tell you that today is the day. If this is for the first time making sense to you, I believe Jesus is calling into your life saying, wake up. It is time to wake up. You've been dead for too long. Let me set you free. Let me give you life and life more abundantly. That is good news. And if that's you today, I don't want you to leave these walls without saying yes to Jesus. To saying, yes, Jesus, you can forgive me, and I answer your call. I believe that Jesus calls us all individually. And what do we know from the New Testament? This is getting outside of all of this, but we know that Jesus knows us by name, doesn't he? It says he is the great shepherd who calls his sheep by name. He knows us by name. He knows Nick. He knows Lisa. He knows Jason. He knows you. And he calls out to you by name, saying, get up, wake up, take off your death burial garments and be alive. That's something worth sharing. Paul believed that this was for all people at all times, that if it is irrelevant, we're doing it improperly. I want us to say right now, again, like we said last year, no more excuses. Let's say no excuses. I believe we have something worth sharing. Let's stop being spiritually fat Christians who hide our Christianity in our backpacks. Let's be Christians who are willing to put our comfort, our rights, our preferences, our divisions, our everything aside. No more excuses. This is good news. This is good news for you. This is good news for me. And this is good news, very good news for those outside these walls. This is good news, and is something worth sharing. So now that you know you have something worth sharing, my last and final question for you is, what is stopping you? What's holding you back? For all of us, it's something. It really is, even for me. You know, this is my job to go and tell people about Jesus, and still it is a battle every single day to make those efforts to go outside my comfort zone. It is an effort, although it sounds like a dream to live in an RV and travel around the country and tell people about Jesus. Every day, we have to pep talk ourselves, saying this is what God has called us to. God wants us to go and share the good news. Yes, living in a trailer is not always the most comfortable. Yes, we don't always have the most space. Yes, sometimes we look at our trailer and look at everyone around us and we're like, wow, our motorhome is pretty old. What are we going to do? Right? We do all of that because it's excuses. I believe that there is always more excuses in our life to not share Jesus. It's not convenient. We don't have enough time. I'm not allowed to talk about Jesus at my job. I'm not allowed to talk about Jesus at my school. I'm not allowed to talk to Jesus or about Jesus at the store because people might make fun of me, or they might say that they don't want that, or that they're not interested, or that it's old, dusty, irrelevant nonsense. I say, none of that matters. This is good news, and it is something worth sharing. Let's make a commitment today that we're going to share it. That we believe that this brings life. Let's stop holding back and let's go for it. I'm going to pray. And if you feel like that's you, I want you to, again, not leave here today without talking to someone. If you've never experienced that love of Christ in the first place, if you think that you are still dead, that you haven't experienced life that comes from Jesus, I want you to speak up and I want you to talk to someone. I want you to talk to Pastor Nick. I want you to talk to one of the elders or deacons here. I want you to talk to me or Talia. I want you to say that today I felt Jesus call me and say, wake up, and I want to wake up. I'm ready to wake up. And if maybe for you, you've let this become old news in your life. Maybe you've been around church a long time. Maybe you've let this good news kind of become old news and it's a whole lot less exciting. I want you to make the commitment today that this is good news and it is something worth sharing. And you are going to do everything you can to tell every single person about Jesus. Why? Because he brings life. He changes lives. That is good news. And I want you to make that commitment today. And again, you can make that commitment on your own or tell somebody about it. Let us hold you accountable to it. That's scary, isn't it? To say, hey, Pastor Nick, I want you to check in with me every week about how many people I've talked to about Jesus, because I feel today that this is good news and I need to do something about it. And Pastor Nick will be so excited about that. And he will follow up with you and he will stay on you and you will feel uncomfortable, yes. But you will see what God will do. It's amazing. I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you that you are so good, that you have given us this something that is worth sharing, this good news. God, I pray that we would treat this like the rest of good news in our life, that we would be willing, that we would be willing to share it with those around us. God, I pray that you would help us feel the weight of necessity and being compelled to share this good news today. God, I pray that we would leave these walls excited about doing this. God, there is no better news than the good news of Jesus. And I pray that we would share it in all of our lives, in every corner. God, no matter what the world says, God, that it is relevant today. It is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked this earth. God, I pray that we would be willing to share that good news. God, I pray if we've never experienced that good news before, God, that today would be the day that we hear your voice and wake up from our slumber. God, that we would no longer be people who are dead and dirty and smelly, but God, we would be people who are alive and have life. God, that we would exude life around us, that we would love those people around us, and that we would share that good news because it brings us life and it brings them life. God, and I pray the scary prayer on behalf of CCF today, God. Woe to us if we do not share it. God, maybe we feel distressed and sorrow if we hold this good news only to ourselves. God, help us get outside our comfort and preferences. Even as we saw a very real example this morning of someone who said, God, I am no longer letting that stand in my way. God, I pray we would all be that brave. Woe to us if we do not share it. It is good news. Give us opportunities all around us to share that good news of Jesus. God, thank you that we have good news to share. In a world that seems so full of bad news, God, may we be the bringers of good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry, I'm going to step.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Ushers, if you can come forward, band. Thank you for that message. I mean, we need to hear that. I mean, look around. There's empty seats here. And, you know, God is preparing us to fill these seats with the people he wants to save, the people he wants to come to him. And it's up to us to do that, Keith. Thank you so much. Father, I lift up this time in the service right now, Lord, where we take our offerings, where we give back to you, Lord, the blessings that you have given us through our work, through our families, through everything that you've done for us, Father. And we open up this altar because maybe while Keith was speaking, people were thinking about, you know, friends in my school that I know you want me to share Christ with, my neighbors, my work associates. So we open up this altar every week. And I think the start of doing something Keith is talking about here starts with prayer. So, Father, we open up this altar right now, Lord, for people who want to acknowledge you as Lord and Savior, or for people who want to pray for other people, that you want to give them the voice, give us the voice to share Christ with them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Sound that saved a wretch. peace.